morning as well. You have, I've got to know a little bit about you, and just for a few minutes here, I'd like to let you know a little bit about myself. I have a very close relative who was in this very area. Well, I shouldn't say too close. He was my sixth generation grandfather who fought in the Battle of Yorktown. Obviously, he survived, or I wouldn't be here. So the scripture from the New Testament is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. Hear the word of God. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Oh, out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which is spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph, appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, and said, "Get up, seeking the child's life, are dead." Then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in the town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the word of God. I forgot to tell you that my claim to fame, maybe the children will appreciate this, is I was born in the same town that Frosty was conceived, Kaiser, West Virginia. I'm only 5 years older than him. Frosty's 70. So I thought the kids would like to hear that. Well, there's a wonderful irony between the Old Testament lesson and the New Testament lesson. In the Old Testament lesson, we learn that God took care of his people in Egypt and beyond. He lifted them up and carried them. And then in the New Testament, we find ironically that his people, Mary and Joseph, carried him and protected him. But I digress. Matthew's gospel says in the first chapter that his name will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And God is not only with us, he's with everyone who accept the love and the mercy and the forgiveness that he gives to us. Shortly after I retired from the ministry, I became involved in prison ministry. And I could tell you from many, many experiences that I had in going to Greensville Correctional Center over in Emporia that God is with those guys too. I see them as they sing and praise the Lord in the worship service, and I can see the joy on their lips, as on their faces, as they somehow try to fathom that God is with them as well, Emmanuel. When I think about this, I think of George Beverly Shea, a musician for Billy Graham for many years. And he used to sing a song, "How Big Is God? How big and wide his vast domain to try to tell my lips can only start. He's big enough to rule this mighty universe, but small enough to dwell in our hearts." Think about that. Mary carried Jesus in her womb. Joseph, I can imagine, carried Jesus on his shoulders. And we who proclaim Jesus, we carry him in our hearts. That is a tremendous, amazing reality. I don't fully understand it. Quite honestly, I don't fully grasp it, but I fully believe it. Jesus is in our heart. And this reality that Jesus is in our hearts is a reality that interfaces the scripture from Matthew's gospel. Think of it. Let me read again the first part of that gospel. "Now after he had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.'" Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. "Then Joseph got up," apparently immediately, "and he took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until Herod was dead." Joseph had a dream, and he heeded that dream. I want to talk just for a few moments about dreams in general, and then come back to this dream of Joseph. God has always used dreams to communicate with his people. We see this in the Old Testament. Many, many people in the Old Testament stories had dreams, which helped them to guide them through life. And the New Testament is the same, as is shown by this passage from second chapter of Matthew. Joseph dreamed four dreams in the very first two chapters of this gospel. And according to Acts, God still communicates by dreams. On the day of Pentecost, for example, Peter stood up and he quoted the prophet, saying, "In the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." I guess I'm old because I've been dreaming a lot recently. I don't heed all of my dreams, but when those dreams are corroborated with Scripture, I take them seriously. All of us dream. Some of our dreams make pure sense. Some do not. Some we choose to heed. Some we don't. But whatever the case might be with our personal dreams, there is one dream that we can heed, one dream that we should heed: Joseph's dream. Let me say that again. There is one dream that we can heed and one dream that we should dream, certainly because it is corroborated by Scripture. Joseph's dream was a dream of warning, telling Joseph that Herod sought to destroy Jesus. An angel warned him to take Jesus and his mother and go to Egypt. Now, what does that have to do with us beyond the historical and the biblical significance? Beyond showing that this dream fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies, how can we apply that dream to our lives? Isn't that the purpose of most Scripture, that we might apply that to our own lives? I will attempt to do that, just as Herod sought to destroy the Christ child. There are evil forces that seek to destroy and diminish Jesus in our present-day world. Last week, 11 Christians were supposedly killed in Nigeria. There was one of the news networks reported that Christians are among the most persecuted of all religions. Now, we might not experience the same violence that some Christians do in the world, but there are distractions and that threaten the Christ within us. Christ cannot be destroyed ultimately, but his influence in our lives can be diminished. Let me say it again. Christ cannot ultimately be destroyed, but his influence in our lives can be diminished. And that message of Joseph's dream can counter that force which threatens the Christ within us. What was the message Joseph received to protect Jesus? Get up and go to Egypt, the angel told Joseph. Notice, without delay, Joseph, in the middle of the night, heeded the dream that God had given to him. In other words, he ran away from Herod. He orchestrated a strategic retreat. Let us learn this lesson from Joseph. Let us put distance between those people, those activities, those ideas, and those habits that diminish the Christ in us, in our nation, in our church, and in us personally. We might not even consider some of these things that we're talking about. We might not consider them evil. They may be legitimate persons, legitimate activities, and legitimate ideas. But if they are taking away our devotion to Jesus, we are wise to let them go. I want to make a personal confession. This homily is not about you only. I'm preaching to myself. It is about you, but it's also about me. As I mentioned earlier, I'm involved in a prison ministry. This is a good thing. Christ, in fact, tells us that we should visit those in prison. I want to kind of sow a seed here this morning and say that perhaps some of you might want to get involved in prison ministry, because it's a good thing. It's a part of what makes us the kingdom of God, visiting those in prison. But even this very legitimate ministry can be a force that affects our relationship with God and with the Christ within us. Last week, for example, I was given an invitation for additional duties and responsibilities in prison ministry. And I was ready to accept. I thought, this is great. You know, I must accept this. But that very night, yes, God told me not to accept those extra responsibilities. So I decided I would go into a strategic, you might say, a strategic retreat. I put some distance between what threatened the Christ in me and, quite frankly, what threatened my own health, you know, when we do too much. So I asked one more thing for you to consider this morning. Joseph did not stay in Egypt. He had another dream. In that dream, he was told that Herod was dead. He was further instructed to go back to Nazareth. And when the threat no longer existed, there was no reason for him to stay in Egypt. We are wise to heed that dream too. Whenever we engage in a strategic retreat, take some time out, then we should be quick to re-engage. So I asked you, as we approach the new year, what is Christ in you saying to you? What is the Christ in you saying to you with regard to your church? What is Christ saying to you regarding your community. What is Christ saying to you regarding your own spiritual journey? What are the forces that threaten the Christ in you? What people, what places, and what things are slowing down your progress in your relationship with Jesus? Is he calling you to a spiritual renewal? Is he calling you to a strategic retreat? Maybe he's not speaking to you in your dreams. If that's the case, make Joseph's dream your dream. Just as Joseph made haste to put some distance between the Christ child and Herod, you are wise to put some distance between the Christ and you and this world. Joseph and Mary were the guardians of the Christ child. Aren't you and me the guardians of the Christ within us? So my message to you this last Sunday of this year, 2019, is to step back, retreat, and then re-engage. If you do that, this year can be, I think will be, the most Christ-centered year of your life. Amen.